We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
Jim, despite the crazy ending I had to hang on, can you almost look at his glasses half full that you got the best work in the AHL now, despite some of these things that have been going on?
Well, it's not hard for me to look at a glass half full, you know? And it's why, like, There's you want to learn these lessons, and you know the desperation of the teams when, and our schedule is really tough here down the stretch, so we're going to continue to play teams that are fighting for playoffs or fighting for position in playoffs, which is what we like, because we want to be prepared for all these things that are going to happen come playoff time.
Welcome back, hour two of Sunday Skate. That is Jim Montgomery sounding like Andrew Raycroft. Glass half full
always.
Not hard for him to be optimistic.
Not a pessimist like Scott McLaughlin over
That's
here.
Right.
Let's knock out some calls here. Let's start with Jay in North Carolina. Jay, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I love your show. Anyway, I got two items for you. Number one is I hope the Bruins don't win the President's Cup because I think it's a death knell for the Stanley Cup. But number two, I've assembled my ultimate team of all time. Wayne Gretzky at center, Bobby Hull, right wing, Gordie Howe, left wing, Bobby Orr, defense, Patrick Kawar in net, but I don't know who pairs up with Bobby Orr. I thought maybe Larry Robinson or Dennis Potvin, but can you guys help me out? And if you could stay on the line, I'd like to hear your answer.
Sure. I would say Ray Bourque be a pretty
really?
Solid choice there. To me, it would probably either be him or Nick Lidstrom. I think you got to find a way to get Wayne Gretzky on that team, too.
Yeah, Wayne's got to be there.
But, yeah, no, that's a fun one. All right, so I'm having, like, all kinds of headphone issues
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
he did
say Wayne Gretzky, by the way. Yeah, Scott can't hear the caller super well, I think. Yeah, he definitely said Wayne Gretzky first, okay. In case you missed
I can
that
barely
part.
Hear anything, so it's not great.
I don't know how you're going to respond to these callers, but want to take Mark in Medford? We will translate for you.
Sure. Let's go to Mark in Medford.
Mark wants to talk about the Bruins having a closing problem. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Before I get to the elephant in the room here, I just want to say Morgan Geeky, hands down, 7-player award winner over anybody on this team right now. That kid is a great hockey player. I got to be honest. I mean, it's funny how you don't see you know, you don't see it when they're playing in the Western Conference for a team like Seattle. You only get to see him twice a year, and you really don't get the games in Seattle and Boston. But this kid is going to be even better probably as he progresses in the NHL. But it sounds like to me the Bruins need like a Mariano Rivera out there or something, because this is getting it's becoming a bad habit. You had a 3-0 lead. They got comfortable in Razor. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they look like they completely stopped playing when they went up 5-2.
Oh, yeah, they did. They kind of admittedly to what Jim Montgomery said, they did take the foot off the gas. They thought they were going to win handily at that point. They thought they buried them, and Philly came back. So lesson learned. They learned another lesson that they can't take the foot off the gas. So hopefully that again makes them tougher and stronger mentally come playoff time.
Can we comment on the Morgan Geeky 7 yeah. player award thing? Because I think he's right about that. I think that should be Geeky's award this year. And he's getting more ice time than he did. Like he said, we didn't get to see him on the West Coast, but he also didn't play as much. So he's been able to prove himself more than he has in the past. Scored last night, slap shot, just came into the zone, just teed it off. He's been playing well. He's big. I like him. He's a nice guy, too. So I agree with that. The 7th player award should probably be Morgan Geekies this year.
Yeah, he's going to end up doubling his previous career high in goals. His career high coming into this year is 9. He's already got 16. Career high 34 points already. I guess the others in that discussion probably be Danton Heinen, Trent Frederick maybe. Like, he's clearly taking another step forward. But yeah, I'd say hard to argue with Geeky as 7th player choice.
Yeah, I think Heinen's the other guy. I had Frederick there 2 months ago, and then, you know, the other guys have probably just lifted a little bit more. And, you know, Frederick's just kind of where I thought he would be now. I thought if he got 30, then he might be in the running for that 7th. He's not going to get 30. He's going to get what he did, you know, right where he was. I still think Frederick's gotten much better, by the way. That's not a shot at him.
Yeah, and all those players that you just mentioned have been playing well.
Yeah.
And Dan Heinen is way above and beyond.
Yeah, that's the only – Geeky's been great, but Geeky's also – you know, if you're looking at the contract, what you kind of have to take into consideration, I think, for 7th player is that he's a $2 million guy this year and next year. So he had it a little easier going in rather than making basically league minimum that Danton Heinen's doing. So – but either one's great choices. Either one needs to be celebrated for what the organization saw in both of those players, recognize their ability to help this lineup. And again, the pro scouts and Don Sweeney and Cam Neely have found players that help their team win. Every summer they do it, every deadline they do it, and they did it again this year.
Yeah, James Van Riemsdyk for $1 million just saw... You know,
we just talked about Andrew Peak, like way better than what we thought he was, like just over 2 games. I get it. It's early. Parker Wotherspoon was a free agent guy they brought over. Like these guys have kind of they've picked up off the scrap pile, for lack of a better word, and turned them into real good NHLers.
Yeah, and that's why nobody predicted the Bruins to finish first in the offseason, because we didn't really know what we were going to get from those guys. But I think a lot of them have outperformed. We could get into some players this season that have underperformed. Maybe Kevin Shattenkirk would be in that category, or at least he's kind of tailed off at the end here. I like all of the way that all those guys have played. They've definitely been good for the value, right? You can't argue that even though Geeky is getting paid more than Heinen, he still brings
value.
A lot of value at the $2 million price point.
And even Shattenkirk, I mean, he's barely making over $1 million. So I think you have pretty much gotten exactly what you thought you were going to get from Shattenkirk. And, you know, maybe he still finds his way into playing in the playoffs, but it seems like Peak is probably a little ahead of him right now. You know, you can even throw in, like, bringing Justin Brazeau into your organization and developing him up to the point where he's an NHL contributor now. Jesper Bogvist was another guy they signed really after the first wave of free agency. That was like a week or two in. And, you know, it took some time. He had to go down to the AHL. He had to learn their system, all that. But he's contributing now. So, yeah, I have no questions about the Bruins being able to find depth pieces, because they keep doing it. It's, you know, ultimately it's like, do they have enough high-end talent to make a run? And this can kind of dovetail into two guys who are playing really well right now that are going to be crucial to however far they go in the playoffs. And that's Pavel Zacha and Jake DeBrusk, who are both hot right now. 10 points on the last, a 7-game point streak for Zacha, 10 points during that time, 9 points in the last 7 games for Jake DeBrusk. When those, because you look at your top six, right? You got Pastrnak as the superstar at the top. Marchand's still very good, you know, a tier below that. Charlie Coyle having a career year. The sixth guy in your top six has generally been James Van Riemsdyk or Danton Heinen. Those guys are making $1 million or less. Like, that's, they just have to complement whatever their line they're on. Zacha and DeBrusk are the crucial fourth and fifth forwards that I think that they're the ones who decide whether you have a good enough top six or not. If they're playing like this, you do. Yeah. And you can make some noise. If one or both of them go quiet, you're fighting an uphill battle and you look like maybe a one-line team.
And that's why the record when DeBrusk scores is what it is, 23-3-1, because all those other guys contribute, right? But when you get the Zachas and the DeBrusk contributing too, that's when you're winning. It's when you need to get that round of guys into the offense.
And the big thing's going to be just don't go. And this is just another way to put it. I agree 100%. Just don't go cold. Like, they can't go cold. I don't think they have to be as hot as they are. They don't have to get 10 points in a 7-game series, but they can't get none. Right. That they just have to chip in at the right time with the big play. The power play got them going yesterday. The Charlie Coyle power play at the end of the second. Like, that's just an ugly power play goal. They need one of those every other game in the playoffs. And that's where the Zacha and the Coyles are going to get their extra little secondary assist points. And then, you know, continue to play the 200-foot game, but don't go cold. That's the biggest fear of mine offensively is DeBrusk, Coyle, and Zacha to not find their footing right out of the gates in the playoff. I feel like they all need to get points in the first two games to feel good and then roll into it from there.
Yeah, and even Coyle, like, we haven't really talked about, because I felt that he was still playing pretty well, but he had gone 8 games without a goal before yesterday, so...
Yeah.
To get those two, you know, big to get him back in the scoring column as well.
And even his not, it's 18 games. He's only scored three of in those 18 games. He's only scored two of them are 2-goal games now because of last night. But it's 18 games. He's only 15 of them. He hasn't scored. Like, that's too much. Right. It doesn't have to be 18 of 18, but I don't want three. I want like seven. 7 out of 18 playoff games that Coyle gets a goal in. They're in good shape, and they're winning series.
Yeah, I loved the game that both Zacha and DeBrusk played yesterday in particular.
And Coyle.
DeBrusk, 4 shots on goal, 4 hits. He was involved physically. Yep. He's mixing it up after whistles. You know, he came after McAvoy, caught Konechny up high a little bit. You know, Flyers kind of jump him. DeBrusk was the first one in, you know, defending McAvoy. You like seeing that. Zacha won 9 out of 11 faceoffs. Like, that's... Again, it's only one part of the game, but it's an important part. Like, mm-hmm. We've talked about this team's face-off struggles a lot this year, so he's got to be on there too, and he was.
Yeah, DeBrusk got his swag back after the trade deadline. Like, it takes the pressure off, and you see it resulting in, and not that he hasn't been playing confidently throughout the season, but it's extra. There's a little bit extra there now, you can tell, and he commented on it as well, feeling like the pressure's off a little bit. Now he can settle in. Knows where he's going to be, and he's comfortable.
Yep. Okay. We got another break here.
Couple Joe, segments hold of on the line, because we will get to your question.
Yes. Yes, we do have another call to get to. You can join in, 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. Bridget has you trending, and then we'll be back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Welcome back to a St. Patrick's Day edition of Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue. Let's take a call to kick off this segment. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, how are you guys doing? Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, Razor's going to love this call. I'm old enough to remember the goalie rotations of like Cheevers and Johnston and Cheevers and Gilbert and Moog and Lemelin. And obviously Fuhr and Moog won Stanley Cups together in a rotation. Jacques Plante, Glenn Hall rotated. And what really makes me wonder about it is that I think we all will agree with this. We all wanted Swayman in game six last year against Florida. I mean, come on.
I did, Joe. I don't think Razor did. I think Razor wanted to stick with Allmark.
I was happy to see Allmark go in. No, hey, and I think, again, I'm all for two. I'm not completely against Joe. I'm not completely against two goalies. And the Andy Moog, the Reggie Lemelin, the Grant Fuhr, all like there is a long history. Just there's very much recent history of teams needing two goaltenders, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Colorado Avalanche using three guys. That's different than a rotation. That's all I'm saying. That two goalies is different than a rotation. A straight rotation has never worked, and that they've not many teams have done it in all defense. It was the Winnipeg Jets back in like the late 90s tried it. The straight rotation is different than two goalies for me. So I think if we're gonna talk the good old days, I agree with you. I loved Moog Fuhr. I mean, that worked. But if you look at those numbers in those playoffs, it was Fuhr 80%, Moog 20%. Like that's kind of the recipe.
So that's success. What you're comfortable with. No 50-50, 80-20 is a good spot.
Yeah,
you.
Just, you know, when it lends itself, use the other guy. And I think I know the Bruins are lucky to have both of those guys when they need to. I think it's just, we saw it last year. We've seen it the last 2 years where it's not, if you just win the first round, it's much easier. Winning the first round, it solves all goalie problems because then you can use both and you have a long enough runway to use both and you feel okay with it. It's the first round. It gets dicey trying to go back and forth. That's where I am.
Yeah, like Razor said, like some of those rotations that he listed off, they still settled on one guy for most of the playoffs. The Cheevers Johnson one, I've brought that up before. That was a long time ago. That was 1972, but that was actually like pretty close to a strict rotation. Neither one of those guys made more than two starts in a row. But that's how far back you have to go to a rotation that won the Stanley Cup is 1972. Since then, it's been more what Razor's talking about. You ride one guy, maybe someone mixes in, whether it's performance or someone's banged up or fatigued or whatever, right? Like the Penguins won using Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray, but that wasn't a rotation. That was, they went back and forth because one of them struggled or, you know, whatever the case might be. So it might end up looking like a split at the end if you just look at the raw stats, but in reality, there wasn't like a rotation going on.
No, that was reactionary to play. Do you want to take this goaltending call and then switch to talking about Beecher, fourth line, Maroon?
Sure, let's do that. Let's go to Bob in Londonderry.
Hey, guys, I was enjoying the program. And a while back when Razor was on one of the shows earlier in the day, this is a couple of months back, they're talking about goaltending and older goalies. Yeah, I was a goalie as a young guy, but I was young when we had the likes of Eddie Jockerman, Gump Worsley is another one, Bernie Parent, and there's a couple as I just offhand can't remember. But my point is, those are guys played without a mask for the most part, and I was real young, God, I must have been 6, 7 years old. So I just thought I'd give you a little historical name on some of these goalies, and there's a couple I just can't recall. But, yeah, Gump Worsley and so on and so forth. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's all.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We're doing Let's Remember Some Goalies is going to be this segment. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to take that one. But
fourth line. Brazo.
Yes.
What a NHL hockey player.
Okay,
this guy
wait.
Is.
I do have a thought on Brazo, and it is literally just on. I talked to him for the first time when we were in Montreal, and I am shocked at how big he is in person. Like, you can tell he's big on the ice when you watch the game, but when you stand next to him as someone that's 5'3", not to out my shortness, but he looked like he was 2 feet taller than me. And like, I'm used to talking to Brendan Carlo, who's pretty tall, but Brazo is just big in every way. He's like, he's a monster of a human. So it gave me a different appreciation for, like, how hard it is to bump him off a puck, not wanting to go into corners and take a check from him because he is just massive.
Yeah, and he's still, like, he's really built, too. And
that's what I mean.
That's
it's like,
with losing a lot of weight. Like, he lost a lot of weight over the summer to get lighter on his feet and be a better skater. And yet he's pretty jacked. Like, he's,
yeah, I would say the way I would describe him is like imposing.
Yeah.
Like, if you see him, you're like, dang, this guy just, he's a big dude. And he, that's why he's been effective as well. You can't stop him from making a cut towards the net, 'cause he's going to box you out. He's got so much size. That's why he's been working with Boston so far. So even though he's not really the person in particular I want to talk about on the fourth line, definitely important to mention he's in the mix for if we want to come up with our optimal fourth line for the playoffs. And to set that up, I want to talk about Beecher's call-up. So Beecher has been centering the fourth line last two games. Face-offs have been good. Scored a goal last night. So what have you guys thought of how he looked since he came back?
I think he's looked really good. It feels like he knows that, you know, he's not going to get a ton of opportunities to win a job for the playoffs. Like, he had to come up and bring it right away, and he has. Not, you know, I liked after the Thursday game in Montreal, Montgomery was asked about his face-offs and, you know, how important that is, because he had gone 8 of 11 that game. And Montgomery was like, yeah, the face-offs are good, but he always has that. What he liked more was everything else about his game, was, you know, how hard he was back-checking, how physical he was. He was involved offensively, had some shots. And then you saw that again Saturday against Philly, where he ends up with the goal. He had another really good chance off the rush where Sandstrom made a great save getting across. But yeah, like, I think you see a guy who knows that, you know, for this year, talking about this stretch run and heading towards the playoffs, it's now or never to earn his lineup spot. And he really seems to be embracing that challenge.
He has, and it should be a good thing. It should be a wake up call for him to have been up and think you have a spot and then have to go ride the bus again for a little while. I think he's playing motivated. I think the last two games have been a good sign. Now it's all about what you do against the Rangers in Florida and Carolina. Of course, he still has to prove that to really solidify, I think, on that fourth line. But it was a good start this week for sure. And the face-off stuff hasn't gone away. That's the good news for him. That's his hook. I like him on the wing on the forecheck. I like Boqvist in the middle. I don't want to lose Boqvist by having him over on the wing. I don't want to lose him and his ability through the neutral zone to make plays. That's the one caveat I have and the one thing I see a problem where it's hard to be a center in the draw and then not be a center while you play. That's very difficult to do. But I like Boqvist in the middle during play. So that's something that'll be interesting to see. But again, huge for Beecher. If you have Brazo and you have Beecher on your fourth line, that solves a lot of physicality, length, size issues. There's not many fourth lines that can match up with those two in the Eastern Conference. You're now with Florida on their fourth line and their physicality, etc. So that's the good news. I think they've both. I know Brazo's really found his way with his ability and showing that he can keep up. And that was the question. And now for Beecher, he's kind of got to do the same. He's just got to show that he can keep up with the higher end level in his mind, his hockey sense, and figuring out where to be out on the ice.
Yeah, and obviously the wild card in this discussion is Pat Maroon, who they traded for at the trade deadline. You know, I think we still expect him to play before the regular season is over. I know, you know, there's some news this week that he's not skating. He had started skating before the trade. Now he's not. I don't think that's because of a setback or anything. I think that's just, you know, a slight change of plans. And I believe the plan is still for him to play before the end of the regular season. So at some point he's going to get his chance. And, you know, where does he slot in and who comes out? And now you have even more competition. You still have Jacob Lauko there who, you know, might be a little more limited than some of these guys in terms of his overall game, but I thought it played well when he got in, mm-hmm. you know, this most recent stretch. I thought he was bringing the energy that he needs to. So again, you have depth, which is great, which you need come playoffs, but it is going to be, you know, a short runway to really figure out what the best combination is for that fourth line.
Yeah, and it'll change. It'll move around, I think, come playoff time, depending on matchup, of course. And it's funny, and I know it's Minnesota and it's a little different, but I didn't realize that Maroon had 16 points. He has more points than Matt Patra does this season. Yeah. 4 goals, 12 assists. It kind of snuck up on me a little bit. So he can play. He'll be in the mix. I think you're going to see a little, not a rotation on the fourth line, because I'm not going to use the word rotation again.
Just hates every rotation.
Yeah, there is no rotation. But there's matchups, of course.
You must be a big Red Sox fan, then. They don't have a rotation.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I don't understand that pitching thing. Just pitch the best guy. Pat Maroon is a matchup guy as well, of course. Ryan Reeves, that's a direct correlation to those two guys. You can see how that will, you know, they negate each other in certain times, and they're not going to want, either team is not going to want one of them influencing a game within a series if that's, they do play each other. So, but you have to feel, I'm excited that they have that, because again, you have different levers to pull. Lauko, like you said, has been playing better. He does look differently. He's more of a, you know, water bug, a little bit quicker, not as big, but can still be physical and change up the pace of play out there. So they're in a good spot with the guys they have, and the fourth line's much better now than it was in November.
The problem is when Maroon gets healthy and comes to the lineup, that leaves four guys on the roster that are not playing in a given night. How many of them can you keep?
Well, first off, one of them has to go down just from a sheer roster size perspective. So
until playoffs, though, right? And then your roster opens up playoff time. So it's fine. You could send, Beecher doesn't need waivers, right?
Correct.
So you can just send him down on a daily basis, in and out for 10 days. Like, I'm sure they have that planned out already. And then everyone's here for playoffs.
Yeah. Yes. Again, depth, great problem to have, but you know, at some point you do have to figure out your best combos. And along those lines, I have a couple other lineup questions just want to get you guys' thoughts on. One, I guess we'll call it the second line, but it has David Pastrnak on, so you could call it the first line. Pastrnak and Zacha together, better fit on the left for them, Danton Heinen or James Van Riemsdyk, because we've seen both there quite a bit.
I'm saying Danton Heinen right now.
Certainly this recent stretch, it's been Heinen.
Yeah.
It didn't look the same last night, I don't think, with JVR there.
I agree.
But then you see how Heinen made Geeky and Frederick better last night. Like, that line looked better than it has the last couple of weeks. Certainly, Brazo didn't work there the other night in Montreal. That might have been the game. The game kind of stunk anyways, but that didn't work. So Heinen made that third line look better too. That's the give and take, and I think that'll be strictly matchup driven, who they're playing, what third line they're up against, and how they want to look at that. But Heinen's kind of made every line better, which is something I don't think we all thought would be the case at the start of the season.
No, I feel like it's time to extend him at this point. We're talking about guys that have played well. He deserves a contract. So I don't see any issue with signing him to an extension at some point. And you still need to sign DeBrusk if you want him, Swayman to avoid arbitration. There's definitely still some work to be done in terms of extending guys that you want to keep around. Because that hasn't all been settled yet before free agency. But yeah, I like Heinen. I like him better on, I should say, I think he makes that line better than Van Riemsdyk does.
And then the other question I had, so we talked about third defense pairing. Are we comfortable with Grizzlick next to McAvoy in your first defense pairing? I'll credit our skate pod co-host, Brian, brought this up on one of our episodes this week. Would you want to see Lauri get a longer shot there? Because I'm just going to throw some numbers at you. Since the All-Star break, Grizzlick-McAvoy pairing, when they've been on the ice 5-on-5, Bruins are up 8-5 in goals. So that's good, right? They're outscoring opponents. Corsi, which is percentage of shot attempts, 42%. Expected goals, 46.7%. Those aren't great. And that's lower than where they were even earlier this season. So I wonder if, do you consider Lauri for that spot? Should he get a chance to challenge for down the stretch here?
I don't know. Will we see him there? I don't know. It's a big ask. It's a big ask. That's the only thing. It's a huge ask come playoff time. I think Lauri has continued to get better. I think he's better now than he was when he first started, even though he might have scored when he first, like, I don't care if he scores a goal. It's completely irrelevant to me. I think it's the playing hard, the playing physical, the closing space. Can he close out Mitch Marner on a nightly basis in the first round consistently? Because that's the matchup, Marner Matthews. And does, so I'm not sure. I if they're going to do it, I want to see him playing top-end guys against the Rangers, Florida, Carolina. He needs to play 20 minutes. Or the other thing is can you play Lindholm that much more? Is it McAvoy, Lindholm, every defensive zone face-off, and Lauri jumps in on the offensive zone face-offs with McAvoy against the third line? Like, can you match him up and put him in the place? I don't think you see it. I guess my long-winded answer, sorry, terrible radio, is I don't think it's a straight Lauri-McAvoy pairing, but it might not be a strict Grizzlick-McAvoy pairing in the first round either. So depending on how you think you can get Lauri in and work him through, does that help you? Possibly. But it won't look like Lauri-McAvoy playing 25 minutes and then Lindholm-Carlo playing 20 minutes. Like, it's not going to look that way, I guess. That's the way I would answer it.
I would say
it took
just
me a while to get there, sorry.
What's the risk versus what's the reward is really what you have to look at. Like, the risk is that he makes a bad pinch or loses a guy in coverage, someone fast like Marner or Matthews, like you're saying. He's on a top pair with McAvoy, which means he's going to have to play tough minutes against they're going to be matching up against, well, just use the Leafs for this example, their best line, because of the nature, and you want McAvoy out there. But the reward is that you might get improved offense. And at times the difference between him and Grizzlick is just not that big a difference. And that's why it makes it tempting. But I do think Grizzlick is more consistent in terms of making the right pinches and stuff like that. But it's a tough call because they're not similar players, but they are kind of at the same level of what you can trust them to do.
Yeah. Obviously physically they're different, you know, right? Lauri is much bigger, has longer reach. And you know, if you're talking about there's been concern with Grizzick holding up in the playoffs before. I actually think Laura's done a pretty good job, like, not taking big hits. He seems to brace himself pretty well. But again, Bridger, exactly what you're talking about, like, just the read and the speed at which plays develop in the playoffs. We do still see Lauri, you know, lose guys in coverage or get caught in between on a pinch. We saw that a couple games ago where he sort of ends up in no man's land in the offensive zone off a faceoff, and it's like an easy chip right by him. So that kind of stuff, yes, has to be cleaned up. His offensive upside is higher than Grizzlick's. You know, Grizzlick might have had that once. We just haven't seen it as much this year, him being really involved offensively. You know, I'll also note, since I shared the Grizzlick McAvoy numbers, Lauri McAvoy, since Lauri's most recent call-up, now it's only 50 minutes compared to 200 minutes of Grizzlick McAvoy together, but good numbers. 56% Corsi, 57% expected goals, with the caveat that that is a lot of offensive zone draws.
Exactly.
It's like 90% offensive zone draws, yeah. Which, you know, probably isn't realistic for the playoffs. You're going to have some D-zone draws in there. So that's why I would like to see him tested more down the stretch to get a better gauge of whether he can handle that. And Razor, you highlight some of the games. Like, I would like to see it against the Rangers or this Florida-Tampa trip coming up. I don't know if we're going to. It feels like Montgomery's probably more inclined to just stick to Grizzlick McAvoy, because even if they're not as dominant as they've been in the past, there's a level of trust there.
Yeah. Trust is important. Yeah. It really is. And that's why you typically won't see throwing a young guy in just to see what happens at this time of year or come playoff time. It's out of necessity. And if the kid swims like a Charlie McAvoy swims, then you get trust from that. But they didn't want to play Charlie McAvoy in that first round when he first started. They just kind of had to. And that could be the way Lauri gets in. I think you trust is the big one, and there's certainly enough signs that point that Grizzlick's got the trust more so than number six.
All right, we got to catch our last break of Sunday Skate here.
We got to get to road trip talk.
Yes, oh, we do. Man. We do have to touch on our trip to Montreal. So we'll do that. We'll wrap up with any other thoughts. Maybe still squeezing a phone call if you want to jump in. 617-779-7937. We will be back right after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Scott McLaughlin here with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. Nico behind the glass. We're getting bombarded with texts from a Brian Z. You guys know who this is?
I think Mr. Z, who joined us on our road trip to Montreal, had a great time.
Let's get the skinny on his jukebox for like the honest truth on his jukebox.
This is Brian Zicello from Nesson, who
Bruins producer
took over London Pub up in Montreal
for hours. And like it was like a hostile takeover. It was like he sat in front of the Touch Tune jukebox and didn't let anyone else go near it. And he was paying to skip other people's songs. So he had control of that for, you can text me, Z, if you're listening. It was like at least 5 hours. It's probably more than that.
Right. It was an absolute power move. I got to say, though, music choices were rock solid. So I don't have any complaints.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he also paid for everyone's drinks.
Wow.
Which is probably how I got Scott to wear his birthday crown.
Yeah.
Because I went in thinking, I hid a crown in my purse, and I was like, I'm going to get him drunk, and I'm going to get him to wear this crown. And Z handled that for me, and Scott ended up drinking in London Pub with a crown on for the rest of the night, and then it blew off into the street and had to chase it down.
So safe to say that a Montreal road trip is a necessity for all Bruins fans to go watch a game at the Bell Center and go to the London Pub before.
They gave us Molsons in the media room.
That's a beautiful thing.
Indeed. Yeah. That we gotta adapt that here. We gotta
That's true. Sam Adams at least in the
Yeah. I want a beer when I'm writing my story post game.
Yeah, I walk in, I'd left the room for like 5 minutes. I come back in, everybody has a Molson. And Scott's just like drinking a beer, writing his story. And I'm like, where was I when the Molsons came out? I don't know. He's drinking on the job. Then we went out after that. This was right after the game, to a place called Grumpy's. And I want to thank the owner who invited us there and paid for our drinks. He was a listener to the show.
Wow.
So he tweeted at us and said, come on over. And Grumpy's probably rocking today. They have a lot of live music, like bluegrassy style. Like I could see it being a good place on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and like a sneaky Bruins fan bar, because Ram, the owner, huge Bruins fan. So it seemed like a gathering spot. So if you're a Bruins fan who does make the trip up, definitely keep Grumpy's in mind.
Yeah, because it was full of Bruins fans.
Yeah.
In deep in Habs territory. It was like an unofficial Bruins bar, but people kind of started to know that. So like if you're a Bruins fan planning on going up there, Grumpy's, it's not that far from the rink, but maybe like a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
Really short Uber if you want to do that instead. We loved it there. Good vibe. Good craft beer, which is we're for. And we just had fun talking to some Bruins fans that were from Montreal. They exist.
Razor, unfortunately, was not on this trip. But
no, fortunately, Razor, sounds like fortunately I wasn't.
Well, maybe that too.
No, we had a great time, man.
Do you have any good Montreal?
Dan Heinen's dad showed up randomly in the night and started partying with
us. Dan Heinen's dad, I've been lucky enough to meet him this year, and great guy, Vancouver guy. Talked about when I was Heinen's dad. When I heard he was there, then I was like, oh, that was really good then. Really good. Great person.
We had like a 10-person crew. Brick was there. I don't know. We had a lot of people. It was all Boston sports media, and then like there was like maybe 8 other people in the bar that weren't us.
They were just wondering what was going on with the jukebox.
Yeah.
Where's my song?
Yeah, they were pissed. They're like, we just spent money and someone just skipped us again. So the bill was just about $500 for the tab that Z picked up. And that's without the jukebox.
It's a good night.
So he probably spent another $100 on the jukebox.
Razor, you got any stories from your playing days, Montreal? Anything stand out?
Oh, yeah, we went out a lot in Montreal. That was kind of, you had to go out, especially when we were in the West, where you would be there a couple days. In the East, a lot of times, Toronto, Boston, you're in and out. But a few times, if you did get a night, obviously you had great restaurants, and then you'd hit Crescent. And playoff time, you know, you'd spend an afternoon on Crescent and cruise around. The paparazzi would follow you around up there. It's a world-class city. It's so much fun.
Z texted me, I would never skip, LOL.
There you go.
That is definitely sarcasm, because I saw him.
That's it for the St. Patrick's Day edition of Sunday Skate. We got Christian Arcan coming up next. Red Sox spring training baseball at 1 o'clock. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m. Talk to you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? we make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.